myself of the basics. The one that I catch myself on the most is it's very tempting as you're riding along to be watching the road about 15 feet ahead. You look at the pavement, you watch the pavement where you're about to go. But when you're driving a motorcycle or a car, it's actually really important to keep your eyes up to the horizon and take the long view. Because the dangerous stuff isn't going to crop up out of the asphalt 15 feet ahead of me. The stuff that's going to give me a problem is out there. And so it's very important to remind myself, eyes up, Eric, eyes up, Eric. And I have to keep reminding myself to look up and pay attention to the horizon, what's out there, the long view. Alas, that's true in life, isn't it? We tend to take the short view. We look at what's right in front of us. We see the thing that's right here. And we have to remind ourselves to keep the eyes up, to take the long view, to remember that there's something coming far down the road. And what really matters most is to prepare for that. Today's gospel reminds us of the importance of the long view. He tells us about these horrible things that are coming. They're looking at the temple, and he says, there will come a time when not one stone will be left upon another stone. Now, that prophecy was actually literally fulfilled in about 70 AD, about 40 years after Jesus spoke those words. But there are other things. There will be wars and insurrections. There will be earthquakes and terrible portents in the heavens, things we won't know how to understand or interpret. And the way that we prepare ourselves to walk through those times, the way that we prepare ourselves to get through that is to learn to keep the long view. We can't always be focused on the crisis that's right here. The truth is, if you just watch the news at night, you'll be overwhelmed by the crisis that's right here. Listen to the current state of our politics, and I just hear doom. How can this possibly be repaired? Anxiety, depression. We have to keep the long view. We have to look to God's view, that long picture. Now, as a practical reality, let me just comment that don't look to the politicians to fix it. It's not going to happen. They have no motivation to fix it. It's the current system that has gotten them where they are. We have to look here. Here's the sad reality. Mark my words on this. We get precisely the government we deserve. We don't want to believe that, but guess what? We voted for all of them. We put every one of them in office. Maybe not you personally, but we as a nation. They are an expression of who we are as a nation. You may not like that picture, but that's the reality. And so, if we want it to change, don't look for them to change. We have to change. We have to become a different kind of people. We have to become a people that looks to the long view and have become so accustomed to that that we demand our leaders look to the long view. Now, I'm not going to get into the impeachment debate. I want to note something that everybody is ignoring in the midst of that. Do you know that the federal deficit is now over $1 trillion with a T, $1 trillion a year? Now there's a crisis. There is impending doom. What if you were spending every year double what you take in? How long would that last? Not very long, would it? But nobody's talking about that because everybody's concerned about the short term. What's going to get me elected in the next election cycle? Nobody wants to deal with a $1 trillion deficit because that's going to mean higher taxes and reduced government spending, and nobody wants to be responsible for that because that might get me voted out of office. That's what I mean when I say don't look to them. They have no incentive to fix this problem. That won't change until you and I change, and we demand leaders that take the long view. We demand leaders that are willing to make the ugly decisions to address the real problems that we face, and then vote for them when they make those hard decisions. But we have to begin by training ourselves to be people of the long view, to be people who look to God's word, to God's plan, to His end purposes for us. So how do we become that kind of people? How do we train ourselves to be people of a long view? Well, if you've been paying attention to my preaching of late, you know that one of the things I've been talking about a lot is that the way that we achieve the changes in our lives that God has for us is incremental changes in our behavior. Wishing for change won't do it. Talking about change won't do it. Even driving to Washington and carrying a protest sign won't do it. We need to actually begin to change the patterns by which we live, the patterns by which we manage our own lives. We are now in our stewardship campaign, our fall stewardship campaign for the coming year, for 2020. I would submit to you that that's a good place to begin with some incremental changes in our behavior, in the way we actually choose to live. I would argue that our biggest financial problem, both as individuals and as a nation, is that we are addicted to immediate satisfaction. We want it now. We don't want it later. We don't want it after we've saved up. If we could put it on the credit card, we want it now. We want immediate satisfaction. I want to get elected again in the next election cycle, so I'll vote to spend this money, and I'm not going to vote to increase the taxes to pay for it, because that's going to make my constituents happy and get me elected. We take a short-term view. Now, I know that other kinds of crises come along financially, unexpected disasters and all that sort of thing. But for the vast majority of us, most of the time, our financial woes mostly arise from this addiction to short-term satisfaction. I just spent the weekend with a bishop friend of ours, actually the bishop that ordained me, many years ago. Charlene and I were up in South Carolina with Susan Baggio and a number of other folks for the 20th anniversary board meeting of Solar Light for Africa. And we had a wonderful time, and the meeting went very well. That all went fine, except the weather was up there. The weather up there was horrible. It was about 45 degrees and raining. But this bishop, Bishop Hathaway, many, many years ago, before he even became a bishop, wrote a little pamphlet called Tithing, A Habit to Mend the Heart. It was published by one of the Episcopal publishing houses. Sadly, it is now out of print. But the idea, the teaching of the pamphlet is exactly what the title would indicate. That tithing isn't simply a rule to be obeyed, but it's a habit that mends, a habit that heals. Now, let me confess to you right now, I suffer from the addiction to satisfaction. I want what I want right now, right? I don't think I'm different than most of us. I suffer from that addiction. And I can certainly attest to the kind of financial woes that can come from being held by that addiction to immediate satisfaction. But to learn to look, I know that the way that changes is not by wishing it were so. The way that changes is by changing behavior, by changing the choices we make. Now, we talk a lot about tithing in the church, and let me just say, I think tithing is a critical benchmark. But it's not simply a rule to be checked off the list. Let me say a little more what I mean by that. If I'm looking at, a young woman making a low-wage job, $9 or $10 an hour, single mom, trying to take care of 3 or 4 kids and keep them fed and clothed, I can't look that woman in the eyes and say, you need to write a check for 10% off the top no matter what happens, just because. You need to take a responsible look at your finances. But I would also say the other side, and secret is, this is what applies more to everybody sitting in this congregation. For some of us, tithing is not enough. Some of us become complacent in that. If we want to mend the heart, if we want to change the way we look at God, change the way we build our trust in Him, change the way that we view one another, change the way that we understand ourselves in relation to those who are around us, we need to look to those changes and we need to ask ourselves those hard questions. You hear me say this a lot. We would like God to give us a list of nice, simple rules. This is how you do it. This is what you have to do, and then you're okay. The reality is God does not work with us in such a simple manner. It's much more difficult than that. We go through different phases in our lives. There are phases in our lives when a tithe is not enough. There are phases in our lives where maybe for a time we can't. The challenge before us is in prayer and in humility before God to ask, Lord, what do I need to do now? What's the change that you would have me make? What's that next step in trusting you? And here's the wonderful thing, that as we begin that path, that's how God gets to work in us. That's how we open the door for the Holy Spirit to begin to bring about the kinds of changes in our lives that will shape us into the people that He intends for us to be. A habit to mend the heart. Now, right now, I'll talk about it in terms of stewardship and giving. There are lots of other ways where that comes in. In a life devoted to love and service and care for others, there are lots of ways. A life devoted to prayer, a life devoted to the reading and study of Scripture. All of those are areas of our lives where we can be making decisions to make those incremental changes that open the door to allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives and to change us and shape us into something different. And as we become a different kind of people, then we begin to look at those around us differently. we begin to look at our nation differently. We begin to look at our politics differently. Maybe you'll even begin to vote differently. Begin to demand different things of our leaders. It spreads. It's a habit that mends the heart. So as you look over the stewardship materials that have been sent out, as you think about that, we'll have some testimony about that during the church services next Sunday on giving and what giving means. We'll hear more about that from members of the congregation. Be in prayer, not simply about, okay, how much do I have to cough up for 2020? But rather, Lord, how would you change me through giving? How would you use this opportunity to perhaps heal a little of that addiction that we all share, and perhaps to train us to be people of the long view? And as people of the long view, people that trust in God who carries us to that place.